Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Diana Jean Chemo, founder and co-director of Double Exposure Film Festival.
And it's returning to DC October 13th through the 16th. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure always, Jason.
All right, cool. So the really cool thing this year is I know you had a few events, you know, maybe opening and closing or whatever in person last year, sort of a hybrid thing. But the big news this year is that you're back fully in person, right?
Yes, we're back with both feet. We're fully in person. All of our films are being screened in theaters. We're for the most part at Naval Heritage Center at 7th and Pennsylvania. Closing night film is at the National Geographic Grosvenor Auditorium. And we'll go into what those selections are, but those are the venues for this year. Some of those films are available virtually, but that's a little hit or miss depending on the distributors and geo-blocking. For people in DC, they are actually all available in the theaters.
Awesome. And just one other, you know, big picture question before we get into the specific lineup. What year are we in now? I'm trying to think. Well, actually, I remember it must have been 2015 based on the, you know, the big Best Picture winner.
Right. So we started in 2015 with Spotlight. And this is now our seventh year coming back or our eighth edition, depending how you count.
Oh, and Spotlight was so good. You could tell it was destined for greatness at that point. And you had David Simon there too, I think, doing a Q&A, you know, the creator of The Wire. Yeah. It was awesome.
Well, actually, this year we have a former member of the Spotlight team is actually returning to Double Exposure this year in the capacity of interviewing a filmmaker on a film called Pray for Our Sinners.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
NGC.
Well, that's great. Well, let's do it in order and remember to say that part when we get to that movie. All right. So, it starts on Thursday, October 13th. What do we got on opening day?
Opening night, we have The Grab, which is a film by Gabriella Cowperthwaite, who did Blackfish, and
such a great movie.
Amazing, right? She's a fantastic director. And this is a film that is actually kind of partly about the story and part about the process of getting the story. It's called The Grab, and it's looking at the sort of chase, the cross-border chase for land and water resources that's going on by countries that are concerned that food shortages lead to civil unrest and could bring instability. There's a saying that, you know, any country is 9 meals away from revolution. So these countries are sort of pitching forward and anticipating shortages of water and food in the years to come. And a lot of them are sort of surreptitiously buying up land and access to water resources, some of it right here in the United States. So that is, the heart of the story. But what the film also does is it follows the investigative process in much the same way that Spotlight did. You know, it kind of follows this process of getting the information, the excitement, and it's kind of becomes a little bit of a thriller almost as, you know, we unravel and see like who's behind these mysterious land purchases and what do they actually mean. In one case, they're looking at Arizona, where the law apparently is that if you own the land, you own everything that's underneath the land, including all the water resources. So one country, which you'll have to watch the film to find out which, is actually bought up 25,000 hectares, and all of the farmers around it are now, they took out all the water and sent it overseas, and the farmers who are living all around it are getting impoverished because they have no water for their own crops. So it's a really interesting story that has largely gone unnoticed by the American press. Nate Halverson, the reporter at the center of all of this, has been following the story since 2014. So it's a very deep and interesting investigation.
Yeah, that sounds like a great kickoff. Now, will Gabriella Cowperthwaite, will she be in attendance?
So she cannot attend. Great question. She cannot attend. So what we're doing is she's recording a message before the film screens, and then we're going to have an after the screening discussion with some of the film subjects and the protagonists and Amanda Pike and Nate Halverson and possibly some other protagonists in the film will be attending the post-screening discussion at the theater.
That's awesome. Well, whether she's there or not, you get to see the great new movie that, you know, that she's made. And right here, I guess coming up on next year will be the 10th anniversary of Blackfish. Hard to believe. So that's really, that's a big get for you to get the grab to open it up. Awesome. That's great. All right. And then moving on to day two, Friday, October 14th. What are some of the highlights there?
On Friday, we're showing the film Into the Weeds, which is by Jennifer Bakwal, and it's all about Dwayne Lee Johnson's case against Monsanto. Mr. Johnson was a groundskeeper for schools in Northern California who got doused with Roundup, which is the most common pesticide used in the United States. And he developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Terminal, and he took the company to court and won this groundbreaking settlement. So it's kind of this David and Goliath story that's really interesting. Also interesting is that he is still waiting to see a penny of the settlement, because of course the company is opposing paying it out, and the amount was reduced on appeal. But it's a really interesting film about like one man's sort of drive for justice and forgetting, you know, warnings out about this herbicide that, gosh, you know what, I call it pesticide and herbicide, but I think it's actually an herbicide because it's a weed killer. So it's basically, it's one man's quest for consumers to be warned about the dangers of this very, very common herbicide.
Okay, gotcha. Wow. And I know it was followed up by American Pain. Do you want to talk about that really quick?
Yes. Yeah, American Pain is this almost hallucinatory story. It's about Chris and Jeff George, two brothers who open up a chain of pain clinics in Southern Florida and become this like, magnet for addicts all over the country. And they're just like writing prescriptions. It's really like an ATM for, you know, opioid prescriptions. And they really fuel a huge part of the problem that would sweep across America. They are estimated to have taken in about $500 million. It's just insane. You'd see, you know, whole families coming down to Florida in buses, collecting whole towns from Appalachia coming down to collect all of these prescriptions. And, you know, just so many lives destroyed by this. And the brothers just having garbage bags full of money and really surrounded by a bunch of enablers that allowed this to happen. So it's a kind of film that leaves you feeling kind of outraged, but with a lot of insight about how we got into the mess that awaited us just a few years later.
Wow. And they're twin brothers too, aren't they?
They're twin brothers, bodybuilders, you know. And, you know, like they are just almost like they're exuberantly indifferent to the damage that they're doing. They're wow. Just, you know, they'll blame everybody but themselves for what they've done. But it's also, you know, about the companies that, you know, kept sending the pills that were just profiting off of this as well. So it's, you know, up and down the chain, you see this just, really kind of shocking indifference to the damage that's being done.
Wow, that's going to be powerful. All right, moving on to day three, Saturday, October 15th. What are some of the highlights there?
On Saturday morning at 11, we start early with a film called Pray for Our Sinners. And this is by Sinead O'Shea, an Irish filmmaker. And she returns to her hometown of Navan, outside of Dublin, north of Dublin, and is looking at what happened to all of these women who became pregnant out of wedlock. And their families entrusted the neighborhood priest, or the town priest, to guide them on what's the right thing to do. And, you know, this is looking back at, you know, Ireland in the 1980s up through, you know, the 90s, where, you know, these women were essentially kind of channeled into homes for unwed mothers, where they were subject to terrific abuse. And, their babies were stolen from them. They were put up for adoption without, they would tell the moms that the babies had died. They would take them, you know, away by hook or crook, and the moms, you know, were just devastated and destroyed. It also looks, the film also looks at other forms of, you know, people who transgress, like, you know, a 10-year-old boy who stands up against corporal punishment in his school. And just, you know, it's really about the power of the theocracy of the Catholic Church in Ireland. And it's especially timely now, when we're in this kind of post Roe v. Wade era, and a little bit in, you know, uncharted territory in terms of what things are going to look like in different states going forward here. This is a kind of very timely and relevant film for us. I wanted to mention this, the director is not going to be attending, but Michael Rosenges from the original Spotlight team is doing the Zoom interview. So it's a virtual interview that will play after the film.
Oh, wow. So he was one of the original, what is it? Was he one of the Boston Globe reporters?
Yeah, he was. And now he actually works for the Associated Press. And so he's going to be doing this interview for us. And obviously he's continued reporting on the whole issue of, sexual abuse. And so he'll bring a wealth of knowledge about the power of the church, especially to the discussion. And we think it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, interesting church through line there between the two. That'll be cool. All right. What else on Saturday that you want to talk about?
So then on Saturday, we have another screening of Myanmar Diaries that's happening at 1:15. So it's a little bit early also. And there we don't have the filmmaker because there is no official filmmaker. So it's kind of an interesting case where this, you know, Myanmar, of course, was, there was a military coup in February of 2021. Its sort of brief experiment with democracy came to an end. And the military has been very brutal in cracking down on any form of dissent, of protest. So what this film does is it takes clips by ordinary citizens and a filmmaker collective that's anonymous in Myanmar. And the filmmakers put these things together, these kind of poetic, fictionalized clips from the filmmakers with the very raw footage taken by citizen journalists who are also anonymous. And they put them together in this film, which was actually completed by filmmakers outside the country. So it's a collective anonymous film that is giving you a picture of life inside Myanmar now, which is actually otherwise really impossible to get. I mean, news reports are very closely controlled. It's very hard to get honest and accurate news out of Myanmar that's not being said. I mean, there are some exceptions to that, but for the most part, it's a very hard thing to do. And so this film is almost like a message smuggled out of the country about what's going on there. It's really interesting. And we have Corinne van Egeraat coming in from the Netherlands, who was involved in making the film to come. But interestingly, this film ends with like no credits. It ends with a black screen and a note saying, you know, the filmmakers had to be inside the country, had to work anonymously, and in solidarity, the filmmakers who helped them outside the country are also going to be anonymous.
Wow, so I love that idea of having to, it's almost like something smuggled out. We can't even put our names on it because it's so top secret and so controversial. That's amazing. Awesome. Yeah, all right. And then I know there's a couple other films on Saturday as well. Do you want to highlight The New Greatness Case, Hazing, or Body Parts, or a little all of them?
Yeah, I'll do a little of each. So The New Greatness Case is about, you know, it's basically a KGB sting operation that entraps some teenagers into saying things about Vladimir Putin and it sort of entraps them into this appearance of challenging you know, in a dangerous way, the authority of Vladimir Putin. And what you see through the film is that, in fact, it was really a KGB kind of plant to create an example. And there are some teenagers who were caught in the net and, you know, hauled off to prison and, you know, who are still there as a result of this. So it gives you a glimpse, like even before Ukraine, of like, you know, what exactly was going on with Putin and sort of just how his brutality on the very, like on a small scale inside the country. And, you know, this is what we see now projected out on the world stage. I mean, we also saw it, you know, similar tendencies with the Navalny film. So, you know, that's what this is, sort of taking you inside one of, like, from the perspective of a victim of one of these sting operations and what happened. And then we have hazing, which is kind of, self-explanatory, the title. It's about, you know, it starts out with Byron Hurt, who's the director, looking at the Divine Nine, you know, of Black college fraternities. And he uses his own experience as a window into the process of initiating new people. And he's become a reformer on this. And so he's bringing to light, like, how many deaths are caused and how much humiliation and scars people are bearing because of this process that kind of just continues rolling on. And he looks also under the surface to see, why is it that even though there are so many calls for reform that pop up every year when kids die through hazing rituals, why do these things persist? And I think the answer will surprise some people. It surprised me, like, you know.
That's an important topic. That's cool. Absolutely. All right, and then on the final day, Sunday, October 16th, which of these do we want to? Probably don't have time for all of them. Well, unless you can go pretty quickly. But which ones do you want to talk about?
I guess probably can't really talk. I will say that Friday we have something called a secret screening at 2:00, and I can't tell you what it's about, but I can tell you it's a film that is really great and hasn't yet premiered in the United States, which is why we cannot say what it is. But it's really a very powerful film. And so we're putting it in this kind of showcase spot. It's a secret screening, and it'll be sort of that our matinee screening for Sunday. The closing night film, which is going to actually happen at National Geographic Theater, is Retrograde, which is Matt Heineman's new film about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Oh, everyone will remember Matthew Heineman. He did Cartel Land.
Yes, he did Cartel Land. And then he did The First Wave, which we played last year also.
Oh, another great movie about COVID. Yeah.
His skill is just, you know, he has you kind of sitting on the edge of your seat, even when you know, we all know what happened with COVID, but somehow the way you tell the story, it's giving it to you from a different angle and you're like on the edge of your seat. And that's what happens with Retrograde. It's really, you know, it's taking us inside something that is so hard to look at, which is the mess that the U.S. leaves behind when it withdraws its military. You know, my generation saw this, you know, with the U.S. withdrawal, you know, from Vietnam. And we see very similar scenes happening in Afghanistan all these years later, with people clamoring at the airport to get out. Anybody who, you know, assisted U.S. forces, there's a limited number of spots. The U.S. Did, you know, its best to get people out, but there were many people who were left behind. And just the whole process of a very sudden withdrawal, like, I think it was announced and then a very short time later, everybody had to be out. So there's this mad dash to kind of destroy ordnance that could be seized by the Taliban and used. There's, you know, records that have to be, you know, destroyed. There's people who have to be protected. There's just, you know, this huge operation that kind of kicks in. And then there's just like the human side of this. Like there's an Afghan general who's at the center of the storytelling, whose story we follow. And, you know, you kind of see like what happens to him in this vastly changed landscape all of a sudden.
So is Heineman's, you know, similar to Cartel Land, where he's like his camera's right there, you know, in the midst of these cartel war, basically violence. Is Heineman's camera actually there on the ground in Afghanistan as they're withdrawing and trying to destroy the equipment and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what you see. Yeah, that's what you see. And you also see like the reactions of the Green Berets who, you know, learn that they have to leave and are feeling very invested and, you know, it's a hard thing for them to break those ties, and for the Afghans who entrusted their lives to this operation and are suddenly going to be outnumbered, vastly outnumbered, by, you know, a merciless foe.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's, Wow, we mean we talked about how Spotlight went on to Oscar success, but I bet you this one could be considered for best documentary, or actually the Gabriella Cowperthwaite, the opening night one could it be, or many of these that we've talked about. I mean, these are all probably come see them here, but you know, on the ground floor before they go on to get all this, you know, award season acclaim. Just sort of in closing, remind us the what's in a title, you know, Double Exposure, the, you know, Investigative Film Fest, like explain what the Double Exposure is.
So Double Exposure is actually, it's the nation's only investigative film festival, and that's where the double piece of it comes from. It's both investigative journalism and it's filmmaking, and it's kind of where they meet. It's the intersection of cinematic storytelling and investigative inquiry.
Awesome. And anything else you want to say to our listeners before we hop off here? You know, if you speak directly to them, pretend I'm not even here. Speak directly to the listeners and say, hey, everyone, you know, come on out. You know, here it's, you're going to be enlightened and have a good time.
Yeah. We want to tell everybody, you know, we're out here, you know, we remember you and we hope you'll remember us and come out and watch these great films. We only exist because of you, and we want you to be there, and want to welcome you back and see you again in person.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you, Jason.